Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back to Keep Chopping Wood. This is your host, Zach Goodall. Today I'm bringing on Matt Hoffman again, and this is kind of a spur of the moment episode because we had some pretty breaking news yesterday on Greg Olsen, the offensive coordinator, was relieved of his duties about 24 hours after Coach Gus Bradley said no coaching changes will be made. And that was a huge shakeup. No one really expected that after Bradley came out and said there would be no coaching changes, because that's so unlike Bradley and unlike the team to fire someone midseason. But here we have it. Olsen's gone, and the quarterback's coach, former offensive coordinator for Buffalo, Nathaniel Hackett, got promoted to offensive coordinator. So we're hoping he can help kind of change things around here for Jacksonville. So on that note, I'm going to bring on Matt. You can follow him on Twitter, @JacksMatt. Matt, how you doing?
Doing good, Zach. I like that we got some news on this front. You know, everyone wanted Gus to be fired, of course, after the Thursday night game. And I think they lost a lot of fan interest when they announced he would be staying. And then when Gus announced nothing would be changing, they were really losing fan interest. So I think hopefully this will, you know, alleviate some of that and have a little bloodletting for fans going forward.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. This is kind of a – I wrote an article the day before saying there was nothing to look forward to. And as depressing as it sounded, it seemed true. No one was leaving until the end of the season. And by then, everything seemed like it would be broken beyond repair. But the very next day, they ended up firing Olsen. And, you know, that changes things for this offense. Whether he ends up being a good offensive coordinator, that's yet to be seen. But it sheds a light. It's hope. But what's your first thought on the Olsen firing, Matt?
Well, you know, it's something that had to be done, right? There had to be some kind of change made, and you and I speculated this on the podcast recap in the Raiders game, that if things didn't look good against Tennessee, somebody would be, you know, taking the axe. And it ends up being Olsen, maybe not so deserved. I mean, everyone deserves blame with how bad they've been. Maybe he wasn't the biggest problem. Maybe he was. We're going to get into it more. You know, some of the comments that have come out could shed some light on that. But I do think it's interesting kind of how the national perception has been on this, because now all of a sudden Greg Olsen is some great coach and the Jaguars are like assholes basically for letting him go. When anytime you've mentioned Greg Olsen before, it's kind of like, yeah, he's failed everywhere he's gone. Like, and now all of a sudden, because the Jags let him go, he's the scapegoat and we feel bad for him. So I don't understand that, but change had to be made and looks like Olsen's the one who got it. So.
Yeah, I on Twitter yesterday, I saw Mike Silver, one of the guys from Sports Illustrated and NFL Network, came on, and he was getting all uptight about trying to defend Olsen, and I called him out on it. I said straight up, you know, he's had four different situations where he was a one-year wonder as an offensive coordinator and was fired either at the end of the next season or now midway through his second season with that team. And Silver, who is a national media guy, got all defensive and asked me if I've ever talked to a coach, a player, or a football evaluator, talent evaluator outside of Jacksonville, which I have. I'll keep some of the guys private, but I mean, I'm actually family friends with one of the guys that played with Olsen in St. Louis. But getting back on topic anyway, so do you think that he was more of a scapegoat or it needed to be done? Or, I mean, it can go both ways there. Someone needed to be fired and he just ended up getting the axe, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of how you want to look at it, right? Like, he is a scapegoat in the sense that this isn't going to change things enough. I mean, it could change things to where we could salvage some stuff for the next staff, but Gus Bradley's not going to stay on as coach of this team at the end of this year unless some, like, miracle from above happens and they go on some unprecedented winning streak and get to the AFC Championship, which is a pipe dream. That's never going to happen. So it doesn't change things going forward. So, yeah, Gus still needs to be fired. So in that sense, Olsen is a scapegoat. But in reality, no, he's not a scapegoat because it's his unit. He is the offensive coordinator. That unit is struggling. They suck this year. They can't do anything right. You know, it's like the old Jim Mora quote, they can't do diddly poo. And so he deserves the blame. I mean, you know, whether he's a nice guy or a supposed good coach now, but, you know, it's his unit and it's up to him to get them to perform. And they just weren't doing it in any facet. So it's a deserved fire, in my opinion.
So we look back to whether it be 2012 or 2013. Greg Olsen was hired and he was working here in Jacksonville as the quarterback's coach. And he came out publicly because he was not a fan of then quarterback Blaine Gabbert, and his term was blame Gabbert. So he's obviously had a history of calling out his quarterbacks, and that's never good for a quarterback, especially one young and developing like Blaine Gabbert at the time. Reports came out over the weekend, and Friday night, where the team seemed to have lost trust in Bortles. A starting offensive player, had texted ESPN reporter Josina Anderson and said he's not the right quarterback. However, there were two more comments that came from a source that wasn't reported by Anderson. So that could mean player, coach, or anyone that said that people on the team feel that Bortles is a basket case and has the entire team on pins and needles. Pete Prisco, who's a guy who's originally from Jacksonville as a beat reporter, now a national reporter for CBS, came out and he tweeted something along the lines of, I bet the team did some research into the basket case comments and found out maybe Olsen had something to do with it and that he was fired. Do you think that's kind of a do you think that's a good point?
I do. I think it kind of makes everything make more sense, because when those comments first came out and we all just assumed it was players, I mean, an initial, you know, reaction, you kind of take it and you're like, yeah, okay, because they suck and Blake sucks, so it makes sense. But then I started thinking about it and I'm like, why is it that now all of a sudden Blake Bortles is considered a basket case? Like, we haven't heard anything along those lines. Like, the worst we've heard about the guy is that he drinks in his free time, you know, and I don't think anyone really thought that was that big of a deal. Now all of a sudden he's on a basket case, he's a basket case and has the whole team on pins and needles. So it just didn't really make sense. Unless you try to attribute those quotes to Greg Olsen, who felt like he needed to cover his own ass, and then it starts to really add up. And I could definitely see that being the case. And, you know, to go back to the other quote that was given to Josina Anderson, I believe it was something like, Bortles isn't the right quarterback for this team. And they probably meant that he's not good enough. And we suspect that might have been Kelvin Beachum, I think, is the majority of opinion there as who attributed that quote. But I think most of us initially thought he meant that Blake Bortles sucks and isn't the quarterback for this team going forward. But I kind of started looking at it in a different light. What if he just meant he's not mentally right? Like, he is not right in his own head, therefore he can't be the right quarterback for this team under these circumstances. And when you add it with those other quotes that we talked about, it kind of all starts to add together. And it would make sense that that was maybe the bigger reason why Greg Olsen was let go, because the one word I would use to describe this offense lately is despondent. They just look like they had no hope. They look like they had given up. And Gus kind of touched on that in his press conference the other day, or the conference call with the media. So if you add all that together, it definitely makes sense. And it definitely would make letting Olsen go even more of the correct move.
Yeah. And, I mean, I've looked back on it. At first, I was starting to believe with what if it was the player saying he was a basket case, because, I mean, we just see the disconnect with the entire team. But, I mean, even watching some of those videos that the team releases where it's like, you know, the quarterback's mic'd up, and he seemed to be on good terms with a lot of the guys he was out there with. He was out there, and I know Cole made his spoof videos of it and stuff, but, like, he was out there and he was having fun with some of the guys pregame. They all seemed to be on good terms. And no one's publicly said, oh, you know, blah, 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 kept been given kind of like a bland comment on him. Like, as far as people, when they're asked about Blake, they still say he's their quarterback. So maybe this does have a deeper root. Maybe it was Olsen that contributed to a lot of this stuff. But bottom line is, things need to be fixed. And that's where we get on to the Nathaniel Hackett promotion. So to those who don't know much about Nathaniel Hackett, he was he's been with Doug Marrone for a while now, Doug Marrone being the Jaguars offensive line coach. When Marrone was the head coach of Syracuse University, Hackett was his offensive coordinator, and then they both went together to Buffalo when Marrone was named the Bills head coach. And Hackett was the offensive coordinator there for 2 years and before they both came here. Now Marrone being the offensive line coach and Hackett was the quarterback's coach, who is now the offensive coordinator. So, Matt, what are your thoughts on the Hackett promotion? Do you think he's the right guy to be promoted at this time?
I do. And the reason I say that, and it disagrees with a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people saying, wait a minute, the quarterback coach, Blake Bortles, has been awful this year. You're going to promote the guy who's in charge of coaching him? But it makes sense. You know, when Hackett was brought on, it was actually a well-received hire. A lot of people were excited about him joining the staff, more so than Greg Olsen. And so it seems like Hackett's a coach that they feel very strongly about and they would like to feature more, and this is his opportunity to do that. And I'm going to let you touch more on, you know, his history and what he could bring to the table. But I think that when you look at what coaches you had left on staff, you know, a lot of people talk about Doug Marrone. If Gus Bradley was fired, becoming the interim head coach, and I think that makes sense. But as far as who's going to be the offensive coordinator, Hackett has experience with that. You know, with him being the quarterback coach, even if Blake has struggled, he should know Blake in and out. He should know his strengths and weaknesses. You would have also thought Greg Olsen did. It seemed like at times maybe he didn't, but that's another story. But with Hackett understanding that, maybe he's got a different approach to how to handle Bortles and how to handle this offense going forward. At the end of the day, it's probably not going to change a ton because they just seem to have dug too big of a hole for themselves, but it is a good change, and I'm excited to see what will look different under Hackett as opposed to Olsen.
So we'll go ahead and I'll get into Nathaniel Hackett's history in Buffalo as to why he might end up being a good coordinator here. When he went to the Buffalo Bills, they were not a good offensive team. They had good running backs, but all in all, they just weren't a well-rounded offense. And in his first year there, they kind of implemented an air raid kind of scheme. It was a pro-style scheme, but they definitely liked to attack with passing down the field. But they started their first year with Hackett and Marrone being there, and they had one of the best rushing attacks in the NFL. I think they had the second most rushing yards, it was the second best rushing attack in the whole NFL. The team totaled 2,307 yards and 15 touchdowns in that first year. And then you got to the second year, and their rushing offense kind of went down in rankings due to injuries because both Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller missed time. But one thing that jumped out that year is even though they didn't have as great of a rushing offense, they had a better passing attack. And it wasn't led by E.J. Manuel, who they had drafted, I think, 1 or 2 years before, but it was led by Kyle Orton. And Kyle Orton hadn't been a true starter on a team besides when filling in for injury in over 2 years at that point. But E.J. Manuel ended up going down in the fourth game of the season, and Orton stepped in, and he never looked back. His record was 7-5 for the rest of the year. He threw for 3,018 yards with a 64% completion rating. 18 touchdowns and only 10 interceptions. He looked good. It was Kyle Orton. I mean, Kyle Orton's always been an average kind of journeyman quarterback, and this was the last season of his career. He ended up retiring after. I guess he wanted to go out on a good note, but he looked good, and the offense was, all in all, a pretty good offense, and the Bills went on to be 9-7 and second in the AFC East. So I don't know if he's going to translate that to Jacksonville. He doesn't have too much time to try and fix things, but at the same time, he made a decent offense out of Buffalo, and no one was really used to the Bills having a good offense before he came along. So anyway, that'll wrap up our show for today. We just kind of wanted to touch on the whole Olsen firing, what it meant, and what Nathaniel Hackett can bring to the table as the new Jaguars offensive coordinator. So, Matt, always good to have you on.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Appreciate it.
That being said, thank you. Everyone, thank you for listening to today's episode of Keep Chopping Wood. This is your host, Zach Goodall. Be sure to follow me and Matt on Twitter. You can follow me at Zach_Goodall and Matt at JaxMatt. To get any more news on the Olsen firing, whether it be some of his quotes after he was fired or what Hackett now means to this offense and what he can do, be sure to check out BigCatCountry.com and BigCatCountry on Twitter. Be sure to look out for Bo and Hank's podcast coming later this week. I'm sure they'll be talking about the Hackett promotion and Olsen firing a little more, as well as the Kansas City Chiefs game. I think they're going to have Sully back on the episode, but we'll find out later this week. But until then, go Jags!